Good morning, church.
Morning.
Very, wow. It's wonderful to see you all this morning. I know it's been a miserable start to the day with the weather, but it's good to be here, isn't it? I'm glad to be here today. And it is such a blessing to be back in the house of the Lord. I feel like David in the Old Testament, he said in the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He was talking about going into the temple there in Jerusalem. But I feel just like David this morning. Is anyone else glad to be here today? I'm happy. I'm glad to be alive and to be able to come into church and to worship him and to glorify the name that's above every other name. Amen? Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to each and every one of you. Maura making their way in just now. So welcome to every one of you. And I pray that you are well. And I look forward to catching up with you after the service and throughout the week as well. It's so, so good to see each and every one of you. And especially for those who are here, perhaps who are visiting for the first time or second time. God bless. Yes, there's some first-time visitors here. Welcome. And we pray that you will be blessed today by the service. Now, after the conclusion of the service in the church lounge, after we meet for teas and coffees and a nice biscuit as well, and an opportunity to fellowship and to chat and get to know each other better. So please feel free, if you don't have to rush off, please meet us in the church lounge for an opportunity to get to know each other better. All right, well, I'm going to not waste any more time. I want to do something very important here, which is the birthday box. And are there any of our children and young people here today who have the joy of a birthday in and around this week? Please do raise your hand. Let's see if I'm gonna have one on my first Sunday back. Any children and young people? No? No. Ah. Well, Alessia was born 6 weeks ago. So, mate, does she count? Amen. All right, I want to read our call to worship scripture. We're going to read this together, actually. So it's going to appear on the screen. It's Psalm 150. We're going to read this psalm of praise and exaltation together. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness.
Praise him with the sound of the trumpet.
Yes.
Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing.
Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Praise him with the clash of the cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone who is excited to praise the Lord together this morning? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And we're going to do just that this morning. So if you are able and you'd like to stand, or if you want to remain seated, that's absolutely fine. We're going to sing together, Behold, He Comes, the days of Elijah. And there's no one like Jesus, which might be a new one, but I'm going to walk us through that song, and we're going to sort of link it in with Days of Elijah and go back. So yeah, please stand if you're able. We're going to sing These Are the Days of Elijah together.
like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no
God like Jehovah.
Behold, He comes.
Behold, He comes. Riding on the clouds. Shining like the sun.
At the trumpet calls. Lift your voice.
It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Praise God. Now I'm going to teach you a little chorus. It's a chorus that's been on my heart. And we're going to do this together. So it's going to be new to you, but we're going to get it. It's very simple. So it's very simple. It goes like this. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. That's it. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. Yes. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. One more time. There's no one.
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him.
There's no one,
there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him.
Yes. Hallelujah. There's no one like Jesus. He's the name that's above every other name. Please do take your seats. We're going to pray together. Our Father, we thank You for bringing us here together safely this morning. We thank You for each and every one. And we thank You that You are here through Your Holy Spirit. Your presence is here. The presence of the Lord, the Creator of all things, is right here. And we are grateful. And we pray, Lord, so set out at the back. We often say this, but we truly mean it from our hearts this morning. Have Your way. Please have Your way. We don't want to have our own way. We've tried our way over and over again, and it never ends well. So would You have Your way in this place? Would You minister to each and every one of us? And as we lift up Your name in worship and in praise, in thanksgiving, as we offer to You from our hearts gratitude for all that You have done for us, we pray that You will be pleased with our offering of worship. And we pray, oh God, that You would just uplift us and encourage us and inspire us through Your holy word that will be preached today. And we ask, Lord, that if there's anyone in this place that does not know You personally, that has not yet yielded their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that something that will be said today will touch their heart, that there will be conviction in this place. That just like those men and women many, many thousands of years ago that said, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is very much the same today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So may salvation be in this place. May victory be in this place. May breakthrough and healing and the anointing that comes from You may flow in this place. And we'll be careful to give Your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. The next two songs we're going to sing is Praise is Rising, and then Great is the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, the city of our God, the holy place. And Lord.
And Lord, we want to lift your name on high.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, we want to thank you for the work you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love.
For you alone. One more time, and Lord, all together, and the music, and Lord.
And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the work you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love.
Before we take our seats, we're just going to offer our thanks and praise and worship to God. If anyone wants to lead us around this sanctuary this morning in praise of thanksgiving to God, feel free to lift your voices and express from your heart how much God means to you. Feel free. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Hallelujah. Lord unto me, great
is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning,
you mercy I
see.
All I've needed. God be the glory. Please do take your seats in the presence of the Lord. We are so blessed, as always, to have our children and our young people with us each and every week. And we're so grateful for the team, Ricky and Lisa and all of the children's team and youth team that serve each and every week. And we're going to pray for them now as they make their way to their groups, downstairs, upstairs, all over the place. And they're going to be learning more about the Lord Jesus. So let's pray for them, and then they're going to depart to their groups. Lord, we thank you so much again for our children and our young people. We know how much you love them, and we love them too. And we want to ensure that they are very much a part of this, your church. Not just the church of tomorrow, but they are the church of today and right now. And we thank you for the gifts that you have given them. And we pray, O Lord, that as they continue to mature and develop and grow in you and also in life, we pray that you'll continue to keep them and watch over them and keep them safe, especially out there, Lord, where there's so much going on. But we pray that you would cover them under your precious blood and that they will be safe, Lord, to grow in the wisdom and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So may they have a wonderful time in their groups, and we pray for the leaders as well. We thank you for them, and we thank you for all that they do for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful time in your groups. Bless you. as we come to a time of prayer as a fellowship, as we think about the needs of our congregation, but also the needs of our country, the needs of the world, and all that's going on, it's a privilege as believers that we can stand in the gap and we can be mediators to pray on behalf of God's creation and his beloved people, even those that perhaps are doing the works of darkness. It's our responsibility to pray for them, that they would come to the light and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there's a wonderful psalm that I believe is so appropriate for this time of prayer. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. That is our earnest plea this morning. That's why we pray. That's why we worship. That's why we come here, is because we know that there's power in prayer. There's power in the name of the Lord. Amen. Before we pray, just a few times, going to introduce another new chorus that we're going to perhaps hear moving forward. Some of you might know it, and it simply says, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. That's it. That's the whole song. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He'll never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Yes. He'll never fail. Just one more time. I trust in God, my Savior. He's the one who will never fail. He'll never fail. Yes, God. Lord, we trust you. Even when there's so much chaos all around us, our trust and our confidence is in you. Even when there's hurricanes and storms and lives are being lost and innocent people suffering all around the world, even when Christians are held against their will in Nigeria just because of their faith, Lord, we know these things trouble you and they break your heart. But our trust is in you. Why? Because you will never ever fail. So we look to you. Although some may trust in horses and chariots and riches and land and money and positions and power, but our trust is in you. We depend upon you because the earth belongs to you. Everything that we have belongs to you. That's why Paul put it this way. It's in you that we live and we move and we have our very being. We can do nothing without you. So as your people, as your church, we stand in the gap this morning and we offer our prayers on behalf, Lord, of many different issues that are affecting the world today. We do pray for Jamaica at this time. Oh Lord, we lift them before you now. There's so much devastation in that small country and island, but we know that you will help them and assist them to get back on their feet. And we thank you even now for all of the relief that's already been sent to Jamaica, all of the resources and money that has been raised to send to Jamaica. And we pray, oh God, that those resources will go to the right place. Lord, we pray against any corruption and anything that would halt, Lord, those proceeds from going to where it needs to go. May it go to the right place and bring relief and support to those who need it. And Lord, we do pray for our country. We pray, oh God, that we will continue to be a country that looks to you, that would not forget that we trust in the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. We pray against, Lord, anything that the enemy would want to do to bring havoc and chaos in this country. But we pray that there will be peace in this land. We pray that there will be joy in this land. And we pray, oh God, most of all, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will continue to be preached and proclaimed and shared across this land, that all may know and hear of the goodness of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And finally, we do pray for our fellowship locally here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. Oh God, we pray for anyone who is struggling right now, who needs, Lord, encouragement, who needs support, who needs assistance, who needs healing in their body. Oh God, we pray that you would draw alongside them, that they would know even now your presence and your peace, and that they would know that you are very near. So we submit all of these needs to you, because you know how to deal with them, Lord. You are the God who is able to supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory. So would you minister to each and every one, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. To God be the glory. We are so grateful to have Reverend Dave Baxter with us this morning from West Morling Baptist Church. And aren't we glad to have him? And he's given up his time. He's a very busy man, and he's given up his time to be with us here this morning. And I'm so grateful that he's here. I've had the opportunity to get to know him over the past few years when I became a minister for the first time and attended the SEBA conference. I remember Dave was so kind to me and to come and greet me and make me feel welcome and introduce me to the other ministers in the association. So I'm so grateful to him. And also more recently, I've had the opportunity to join his cluster of ministers. He leads a cluster of ministers that provide support and mentorship and just fellowship. And I'm so appreciative to that. And the North Kent Network, that's right. I'm proud to be a part of the North Kent Network. So grateful that he's here, and he is going to come and share God's word with us today. And he's preaching from the topic that's a very powerful topic, faithful in the fire. Our God is faithful in the fire. So after the next song from our worship team that we're going to sing together, Sovereign Over Us, the next voice that you will hear will be that of Reverend Dave Baxter from West Morling Baptist Church. Please receive him as he comes. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, Father, we thank you that you are faithful. You are faithful in the fire. You are faithful in the flood. You never let go. You never leave us. You're always with us. You're always watching over us. You are the God who watches over us. You are the Lord who keeps a watch during the day, but during the night. You are the God who does not slumber nor sleep. And we just want to praise you. As we come to your word, we thank you that it is living and breathing, active, that it's dynamite, Lord. And whatever you want to do in our hearts today, transform us by the power of your word. For your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for the welcome. Nathan, I'm really grateful and thankful for the invitation today. It's an absolute privilege to join with you here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. I bring the love of West Malling. Sittingbourne is a place that I have visited often. I used to play football from time to time in Sittingbourne back in the day. Those days are gone. For 9 years, I was the minister of Stroh Crescent Baptist Church in Sheerness. I'd never heard of Sheppey, I don't know why. I'd never heard of Sheppey until I remember being at Spurgeon's, and I was there, and they wanted to put me in a placement church as I was in that time of formation and shaping and preparation for ministry. And I remember going to Linda Smith, and she said, I want you to check out a church on the Isle of Sheppey. And I looked at her and I said, how am I going to get to Spurgeon's? How am I going to get to South London from Scotland? And because I'm not that bright, really. And she said, she looked at me quizzically. She said, no, it's not in Scotland. I said, well, it must be Essex. I was probably thinking like Shoeburyness or something like that. She said, no. She says, it's in Kent. I said, I live in Kent. She said, it's a really special place. It is a really special place. It's a really special place, and it was a privilege. But at that time, I mean, you know, it's been tough ministry, because at the time, you know, there was very few shops on the Isle of Sheppey, and meant I had to come to Sittingbourne for a day out. So it's an absolute. It was always something to look forward to. My wife and I, we're going to Sittingbourne today. And so, can I just say, it's an absolute joy to be here. Thank you for having me. Our passage today is from 1 Kings chapter 18. There's probably about 40 verses we're going to cover, because it's the sweep of a story. But it's an amazing story. And it's a powerful story, and it's a story of God and his name being at stake. And there's a faithful servant in the midst of it who's a little bit under pressure and up against it. It's like 400... I love a challenge, don't you? I love a challenge. This is like 450 versus 1, and how are you going to get out of it? Well, you can't do it humanly speaking, can you? But with God, you can. With God, you can scale a wall, can't you? With God, you can say to that mountain, move from there, and it will go over here. And so that's what we're talking about today. Elijah is a little bit under pressure, so let's hear the story. So Obadiah, verse 16, sorry, 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now, summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if the Baal is God, follow him." Do you know, the Greek word there about wavering is a picture word, and it's a picture of a bird hopping between two different boughs, two different branches of a tree. How long are you going to keep on hopping this way and that way? How long are you going to just keep on hopping? How long is what he says to them. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. They wanted to hedge their bets, if I'm being honest. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces, put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls, prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull that was given to them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy." I've got to say that, like, the Hebrew here of "he is busy" is actually quite crude. It's like, I'm really sorry, it's my first time here, all right? But I did live on Sheppey for 9 years, all right? So just go with me. It's like saying, maybe he's on the loo, is exactly... See, I love scripture. I just love this. I don't know why God called me to be a minister, really, but this makes... I'm sitting in a study during the week, studying God's word, and I notice that this is saying, surely your God is maybe busy, maybe he's on the loo. That sort of thing keeps me going for the day, kind of thing. Anyway, so where am I down to? Oh, surely he is a God. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood foamed. Their frantic prophesying for the evening sacrifice, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. This is restoration in a nation, actually. This is bringing a nation back to where it should be. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes, descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. Remember who you are. Remember your roots. Remember where you came from. Remember who gave birth to you. Remember the rock from which you're hewn from. With these stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench round it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and filled 4 large jars with water, and pour it on the offering on the wood. Do it again. And they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered. And they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all of these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the swords, everything, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the poor people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Amen. Then Elijah commanded them, sit, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let them. They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. We are not going to have this cancer of Baal running through this nation anymore. We are going to deal with it. We are going to walk in holiness and purity. And Elijah said to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And looked. There is nothing there, he said. 7 times Elijah said, go back. 7 times. The 7th time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, actually there's a lot of water on Detlin Hill this morning, I can tell you that. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, and the wind rose. A heavy rainstorm came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Isn't scripture amazing? We give thanks. It doesn't need anything else. It's just there. We give thanks to God for his amazing word. As I was preparing this, I was reminded of the revival in Wales. The thing about Elijah was, is that he's one of the things we'll see, he's just an ordinary bloke. I find him inspiring. There are some incredible miracles that happen. He had an amazing catalogue of God moments recorded in Scripture. Unbelievable stuff. Some amazing miracles. What about the widow at Zarephath? The ravens. Ravens coming to feed him at his lowest point. Ravens are called ravens because they're ravenous. They normally take what you... They're like my dog that will eat anything. And yet God fed Elijah with ravens that normally take away. They gave to him. They met his need. He had an absolute incredible catalogue of amazing things that God did in this servant. And the danger of that is that we pedestal him. Elijah, what a man of God. He's like in the Hall of Fame of Hebrews 11, isn't he? And yet I love what James says about him. He was a man with a nature just like yours, just like mine. He's an ordinary bloke. And this ordinary bloke, what was he doing? He was farming. I love it. He's ploughing a field. And God plucks him from the field with the oxen. And he puts his call on his life. The thing that inspires me the most about Elijah is that he's an ordinary bloke. And yet, isn't it incredible what God can do with an ordinary bloke? With an ordinary person. If someone is yielded to God, if someone is surrendered to God, God can do amazing things. If you bow to the cross and give your life to Jesus and say, you can have it all, God. You can have the whole nine yards, every little bit of it. God will take hold of you, take you out of the factory, take you out of the paper mill, take you out of the corner shop or the nursery, whatever you do. He will take you from there. He will put the fire of God in your heart and he will use you in an incredible way. And that's really what this story is all about. Never doubt what God... I think that God believes in you more than you believe in yourself. And he knows all your bad bits better than you know yourself. I mean, I'm just being honest. He knows you inside out, and yet he believes in you more than you do. And so God loves to take an ordinary person. And this revival in Wales in 1904, there was a guy called Seth Joshua. And he had a heart for his nation. He had a heart for the nation of Wales. And he was praying. And his prayer was, God, would you take someone? He said, would you take a lad from the coal mine? Or would you take a person from the field? Even as he took Elijah from the plow to receive his work. Joshua was praying, just take... Like you did with Elijah, just take an ordinary bloke and set his heart on fire. I don't care if he's from the pit. I don't care if he's from the field or the farm. Just find somebody, put your fire in them, and let's see this nation come back to God. And there's this bloke called Evan Roberts, who was a miner, worked in... Actually, his dad had an accident in the mine when Evan was 14 or something. He's a teenager. He had about 14 brothers or sisters. And so he had to take responsibility. And so he went down the pit. And his parents were devout Methodists, as was Roberts. And Roberts gave his life to God as a teenager. He made sure he got to every church meeting, sometimes carried his Bible into the pit, memorized scripture at night. But he had this passion. God put in his heart a passion for revival. He said that for 10 or 11 years he had prayed for revival. He could be up all night and read or talk about revivals. And it was the Spirit that moved me to think about revival. And what was amazing, as God began to stir in his heart, he began to have like visions of God, and he just had a real sense of the Holy Spirit. God, I mean, if it's your will, Lord, okay, but God had this habit of waking him up just after 1 o'clock in the morning. He actually says that for a number of days, God was waking. I mean, I'd be really miffed. I love my sleep. I just want to have a kid. Anyway, God was waking him up just after 1 o'clock, and he was elevated into the presence of God for about 4 hours, from 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock. And then it's brilliant. He says, and then like God let me go back to sleep at 5 o'clock, and I'd used to sleep until about 9 o'clock to have a bit of catch up. But this happened day in, day out, that this young man from Wales was so on fire for God that God would, and he was praying for revival, and God woke him up, and he would spend time with God, and then he'd go back to sleep, and God was preparing him. And he went to Bible college, and it was there that this guy, Seth Joshua, who had been praying that God would take someone, was running a weekend conference, and all the students were encouraged to go there. And when he went there, the fire of God fell on his heart. And he felt a call back to Wales. He felt a call back to his own community. And he went there and he thought, I'm just going to preach Jesus to my town. And he started with the young people, which, can I just say, like, that's a great place to start. Let's see God raise up another generation, should we? I mean, I love all generations. But it's a great place to start. And in the first week, 65 young people, when he went back on fire with the Lord to his mining village, 65 people gave their life to Jesus. And this is what he said, and this is partly why I'm telling the story. He said, for Roberts, it was the cloud that was no bigger than a man's hand. He said, we're on the eve of a great and grand revival, the greatest Wales has ever seen. And by 1904, the number who had responded was reckoned to be 32,000. By 1905, 84,000. One of the things he said was, I have built the altar and laid the wood in order. I have prepared the offering. I only have to wait for fire. So I want to tell you about the cloud today. I want to talk about the altar. But really what we're saying here is that the work of God begins in a small way. It's like a tiny cloud on a horizon, but it leads to a huge outpouring. There's two themes very quickly that I just want to say, because it's not all about fire. Actually, there's two themes. There's water here and there's fire. Let me just, and it just helps us with the context of what I want to get towards and draw out. There's two points I wanted you to take away today from this story, but just a bit of context to help us. First of all, let me talk about the water. This story is all about water. Verse 41, there is the sound of a heavy rain. And the source of the water is back in chapter 17, where it says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. The context is that Israel has broken the covenant so badly through King Ahab and Jezebel that they've broken the covenant. When the Lord God was establishing his relationship with his nation Israel, he loved them. He said, I'll protect them. I'll watch over you. I'll bless you. I'm putting you in a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm going to treat you as my wife, as my child. You are family to me. I will, you know, I will give everything I can in terms of blessing to you. I just want you to be my people and I will be your God. All I'm asking of you is to be faithful in this marriage. All I'm asking you to be is faithful in this covenant. I will be who I will be to you. I will be everything that I am to you. I just want you to be faithful. Don't be like those other nations who have done detestable, evil things. Don't be like them. Separate yourself from them. Just be faithful to me. And we know the story that it was hard, isn't it? It's hard to live out our vows. We can't do that in our own strength. We have to rely on the strength of the Lord. And what we see is that a kind of cycle of Israel time and time and time again committing spiritual adultery and a lot of other things as well along the way. They are unfaithful. And there comes a time when God, who the Lord is gracious and compassionate, he is slow to anger, he's rich in love, he's gracious. But there comes a time when God says, enough. And he rattles our cage to get our attention because he wants to draw us back. How many? I never want to punish my kids. I never want to punish my son. He's a lovely boy, but he's like, he's anarchy. I don't know. And I say to him, like, if you do that, John T., I'm going to take your controllers away from your PS5. You will go 5 days without your PlayStation. And it pains me more than it pains you, son. Do you know what I mean? And he's looking at me and he's testing me. And I like to say, I'm going to count down from 50. Do you know what I mean? And it's the slowest count. And you get down to 1 and you're trying to say, who's going to blink first? Do you know what I mean? And it's like and you have to do fractions in that last one, half and quarter. Oh, my days. They test your patience, don't they? It's not in my heart to punish, but there comes a time, doesn't it, where the controllers have to go in the hiding place. And you have to be true to your word, and they don't believe you when you say it hurts me more than it hurts you. How can it be hurting you, Dad? Believe me, son, it's testing me every day. But honestly, it's like the heart of God, isn't it? He's so compassionate, so gracious, wants this relationship, but they had gone so bad and they'd gone so far that God says to Israel, enough is enough. And he said, I'm going to be true to the contract. The covenant promise said that if you go on, there will be no rain in the land. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, 23, 24, the conditions are there. If you test my patience enough, there'll be no rain. The heavens will be as brass. And that's what's going on here. And God takes Elijah from the field and he says, I want you to go to the king and I want you to tell him that I've had enough and there's going to be no rain. Oh, thanks God. Okay. And that was Elijah. You see, you can have the vision from the mountaintop. You can receive the call of God, but it's walked out in the valley. This is a man under fire. He has to go and speak truth to power. And speaking truth to power is not easy. But sometimes, as God's servant, you have to speak the truth, and you cannot waver. You cannot hop from one branch to the other, and it's costly. And you know that in your workplace. You know when your boss tells you to kind of sort of do something unethical. Well, I'm sure the bosses of Sitting Bull don't, but do you get what I mean? There comes a time when you have to stand up and be counted, don't you? Because of the cross, because of the truth, because of your faith, because of the call on your life. So 3.5 years go, and there is no rain. And God is doing that out of love. He's taken away the PlayStation controller just to shape the child in order to come back into relationship. That's what's going on. And it's been going on for 3.5 years, and Ahab of Jezebel, whose goal is to make this a state of Baal rather than a state of Yahweh, they're just ignoring it. And so at that moment, God says, this cannot go on anymore. The people are suffering. This can't go on. And so now he says to Elijah, Elijah, I've got another job for you. I want you to go back and present yourself to Ahab. So that's the water. There is no water because God's turned off the tap because they've broken the covenant. And so we now get to the fire. I think the strategy of the fire is absolute genius. You see, Baal was understood as the god of lightning. Baal was seen as the god of the skies. Baal was seen as the god of the rain. And so you have this irony where the king is, and his wife, mainly his wife, to be honest, have taken the nation towards Baal, who is this god of rain and lightning, and then totally impotent. There is no rain because the Lord is God. And so he goes back to them. He says, why don't we set up two altars? And like this should be easy for Baal. Just ask your God to send a lightning bolt. Just send him, get him to send some lightning. Get him to just set fire. And if you're the god of lightning, this should be easy. Like one scholar said it was in Baal's sweet spot. You know, Elijah literally gives it to him on a plate. The god of rain, the god of lightning. And the altar was there, and they go crazy, and they're trying to frenzy it all up. But despite their very best efforts, the prophets of Baal, there was no fire. I love the simple prayer of Elijah. You see, you don't have to frenzy it up, do you? You don't have, praise God, you don't have to dance. Pray, do you know what I mean? It's like, what's the solution here? It's a simple prayer. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and you have done all things at your command. He simply calls on God. He simply acknowledges God for who he is. He surrenders to him and he prays and the fire falls. There's two moments that he prays in this chapter. He prays, on one occasion he prays and he gets the answer immediately. On the other occasion he has to pray. Sometimes when we pray, God answers straight away. Most of the time, it takes a bit of time, doesn't it? But the solution is always prayer. And so the fire comes. Very briefly, then, what do we learn from the story? I've got two things, really simple things, that I want to just offer to you today. The first thing is this. I honestly believe from this story that a faithful person can turn the tide. Do you hear that? A faithful person can turn the tide. Verse 22. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one left of the Lord's prophets. I think it's also worth mentioning Obadiah. If you want to do extension study on this, look at the first part of chapter 18. It says in verse 3 and 4, Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in two caves. Humanly speaking, both of these men, Elijah and Obadiah, they had totally had the odds stacked against them. They were totally outnumbered, And also they were powerless. The power was on the throne, and with the monarch. Obviously the ultimate power. I mean, Elijah and Obadiah knew where the real power lay. But humanly speaking, they were totally outnumbered. They had the whole force of the palace against them. How could they possibly see the tide turn in their nation? What I love is that God was able to use them to change a nation. And I just say that today. Now, you might not have the vision for a nation. You might not have the vision. I mean, I used to pray for the Isle of Sheppey. God, you can change the island. And then sometimes my faith would just sort of dwindle a bit. And I'm sort of like, Lord, I live in a cul-de-sac. Could you just do a little bit in my cul-de-sac? And sometimes it's hard to have that faith. But the key, I want to lift your heads. I really want to lift you. I want the vision to be expanded. I genuinely believe that when a person, and I said this earlier, when a person kneels to the cross, when they yield their life to God, when they say, I will follow you, Lord, wherever you take me, I will do whatever you want to do. If I have to go to the king and I have to say to him, change your ways or there'll be no rain, well, however costly it will be, I will stand up for you. I just think that when you have that surrendered heart, God can change a nation through you. Henry Varley once said to D.L. Moody, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. Moody replied, I will be that man. And he was. Moody consecrated his life to God and he saw revival. Where has God placed you? Has he placed you on a building site? Has he placed you in a factory? Has he placed you in a school? Has he placed you in a hospital? Has he placed you in a surgery? Has he placed you in a parent and toddler group? Where has he placed you? Wherever he's placed you, if you give yourself to the Lord and surrender to him, you can see that place transformed. God, this is not rocket science. He takes an ordinary person who surrenders their life to God and he uses them to change a nation. And you might not yet have the vision for a nation, but maybe he'll give you a vision for the place of your work. So, a faithful person can turn the tide. Don't worry, I am coming to an end. Second one that I want to say is, and it's really obvious this, faithful prayer is really powerful. Faithful prayer. Prayer is the key, folks. Verse 42. Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. As I've just said, there are moments when a prayer is answered immediately. There's a time when you have to keep on pressing in. Elijah pressing in for the rain, pressing in for the rain. Evan Roberts prayed for 10 or 11 years for a revival. Seth Joshua, would you raise up someone? We don't always get the answer, but the power is in the prayer. Wherever you want to see transformation, where is it that you want to see transformation? You might want to see transformation in your home, in your family. Where is it that you want to see that transformation? What's the key? Stick your head between your knees and pray. I'm not sure I can do that. If that is the stipulation, I'm stuck. I'm going to have to go to Pilates. But take up that posture of prayer. Take up that posture of prayer. I love the way that James describes Elijah. As I said earlier, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. If you're, let God put something on your heart, pray about it, and see what happens. Imagine if you've just said, Lord, I've got a burning heart for Sitting Bull. Lord, I want to see Sitting Bull honouring Jesus. Lord, I want to see every bad bit of Sitting Bull, not that there's many, but every bad bit of Sitting Bull pruned so that the fruit would flourish. Lord, would you make Sitting Bull fruitful for your kingdom? Lord, let us build an altar and send the fire in Sitting Bull. If those kind of prayers are on your heart, imagine if you faithfully prayed 7 times, 70 times, 7 times, as many times, 70. Imagine if we prayed faithfully for Sitting Bull. The encouragement here is that faithful prayer changes everything. So there we have it. Let's have the final slide. I always put up this final slide because when I used to sit in church before God called me to the ministry, my head used to go everywhere. I used to think about a football or, you know, like what I had to do next week and stuff like that. I'd lose track, right? So I put this one out here because if you've actually just kipped for the last 30 minutes, it just helps you go away and think, yeah, that was a good sermon. What have we learned today? What have we learned today? The cloud is no bigger than a man's hand. It's a story of both water and fire. And what things do we learn from Elijah? Just two really simple things. A faithful person can turn the tide. A faithful prayer is really powerful. And I just put an encouragement here. God can really use a faithful person. He can really use a faithful person. I think that's achievable, isn't it? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church. I bless you for the life that is here and the joy and the family. But I thank you for the faith and the heart for your word and the heart to worship and the heart to pray. I thank you for the faithful that are here. I pray that as they have prepared the altar, as you've been preparing the altar on their heart, I pray that your fire would fall, that you would put the fire of God into every heart here. Make them faithful in the place that you've planted them and enable them to be faithful in their prayers. And may they see the miracles, even greater things. May these be the days of Elijah here in Sitting Bull. In Jesus' name we pray, for your glory. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all. Praise God. Praise God. Give it to him. Give it to him.
Church, would you repeat after me? Revival starts with me. Let's say it together again. Revival starts with me. God can use a faithful person. Will you be that faithful person that God can use? Amen. We're gonna close. Please do meet us in the lounge for teas and coffees. We're so grateful again for Dave for coming from Westmorland to be with us today. Weren't we blessed by the word today? It was so encouraging. And we pray that Sitting Bull will become that light, will become the radiance of God's glory here in this place. That men and women and boys and girls will be saved and they'll come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. As we close in prayer, we had a song, but I feel another song in my heart. We're going to sing this as our closing prayer to God. This is our prayer to God. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. That's the song I hear now. I surrender all. We're going to sing this as a prayer and then we're going to close. This is our closing prayer to God. And if you mean this from your heart, please sing this from the depths of your lungs as our closing prayer to God, that we want to surrender everything to Him so that we can be faithful and so that He can use us for His glory. Yes.
All to Jesus I surrender.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Next week, church, next Sunday morning, we're having our Communion Sunday next week. So it won't be on third Sunday. So it's Remembrance Sunday and Communion Sunday next Sunday morning. So we look forward to that. And then the third Sunday will be Compassion Sunday. And we're going to have a guest with us for Compassion Sunday. Love you, church. Good to see you. And look forward to talking to you after the service. Please do greet Dave. Please have a chat with Dave as well after the service. God bless you all. No, you're fine. Right. Thank you.
Should we do goodness of God? We're finished now.
Yeah.